Jason, who's the king of Asgard?
Thor.
That's wrong. It's Brunhilde, aka Valkyrie, because your geek history lesson on Valkyrie is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Make Asgard Thor again Inman. Welcome to your mind university, because this is Geek History Lesson. And we are the podcast that tells you about one character in pop culture in a little bit less than an hour. And today we are talking about one of the Asgardian legends from the MCU, from Marvel Comics, and also from a film that might be in theaters as we speak, called Thor Love and Thunder. We're talking about the Valkyrie.
The Valkyrie.
Did I say it right? I said the Valkyrie.
I don't know. I can't do a... I'm so sorry to all of our Scandinavian listeners.
We apologize in advance. But yes, Thor and Love and Thunder is out in theaters as we speak. Valkyrie is a big part of that, played by Tessa Thompson. And so we thought this would be the best time to cover a lesson about Valkyrie, because she kind of has a complex... and, well, like comic books, convoluted origin in the comic books. Correct, Ashley?
She both has a complex and incredibly straightforward existence in the MCU.
Fair enough. Like many comic book characters. Mm-hmm. Was this lesson suggested
it
by any of our listeners?
It was.
Awesome. Who?
Vicky Fox Martin. Thank you for being our one and only TA on this. And this is an OG request from like year one of GHL.
Yeah.
So finally getting around to it. We do get them. We get them. Eventually,
yeah,
we'll get to you.
Yeah, and if you want to suggest a future lesson, don't forget, you can go over to GHL Podcast on Twitter and Facebook.com/Geek History Lesson.
And what's our Instagram handle?
At Geek History Lesson.
That's right.
Yes. I don't usually do the plugs. I apologize.
No, that's so. Okay. Yeah, you can go there, be as amazing as Vicky was, and request anything you want to see, and we will find the time and the place to get to it.
Rock on. Are we ready to rock right into the 10-cent origin? Straight to Asgard?
Yes, what is that?
The 10-cent origin is where Ashley's going to give you the basic who's-its and what's-its of Valkyrie.
I can't believe you made that joke.
A Cliff Notes version, if you will, in case you go to a cocktail party inside Odin's house, if you listened to last night.
That's right. Last night's episode.
Last week's episode. Straight to Valhalla. And Odin himself says, "Who beeth the Valkyrie?" Well, if you listen to this 10-cent origin, you'll be able to tell Odin.
Also, if you're a Scandinavian listener, I would love to know how you actually pronounce Valkyrie's name.
Oh, interesting.
Send me a clip, please.
Yeah.
At Geek History Lesson. 10-cent origin, Valkyrie, a.k.a. Brunhilde, a.k.a. Samantha Harrington, a.k.a. Barbara Norse, a.k.a. Cyan Bowen, a.k.a. Annabelle Riggs, a.k.a. Jane Foster. So Valkyrie is a title. It is not a name. It is shared by many women. For the sake of this lesson, we're mostly going to be focusing on Brunhilde or Brunhilde. I'm sorry, I don't speak Norwegian or Swedish or Danish.
I have always heard it in America as Brunhilde.
Yes, that's what I'm going to choose to say forward. Who is a character who was lifted directly from Norse mythology. She's the leader of the Valkyrie. She is the tall, buxom, blonde babe that you see characters like Bugs Bunny parody.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, so we're going to touch
wrong
on...
company, but right.
Yes, yeah. Well, you know what? It's all part of the sphere.
That's right.
We're going to talk about everyone, but we're mostly going to focus on Brunhilde because she gets up to the most exciting stuff. But unlike Thor, which is a name, Valkyrie is a title.
Mm.
For the sake of this lesson, Valkyrie is a Marvel Comics superhero character. She is Asgardian, which means she's not magic, which is a freaking bummer, who was created by Roy Thomas and John Buscema. And her first appearance was in The Avengers, number 83, in December of 1970. Were you shocked that it wasn't a Thor comic? I was too. Her team affiliations include superhuman strength, speed, endurance, reflexes, agility, durability, and longevity, invulnerability, regenerative healing factor, teleportation, a skilled armed and unarmed combatant, and mediumship. In the sense that...
What's mediumship? Yeah.
So if you're a medium, it means you can talk to the dead. And,
and
Valkyrie's in their traditional
people.
Role.
She
exactly.
takes people to the dead.
Yeah.
That makes sense. All right, cool. Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, mediumship.
I'll allow it.
She's out here like the Asgardian medium on TLC with her show and her blonde hair.
It's like the old NBC show medium.
There you go.
Solving murders everywhere by talking to dead people.
And she is portrayed in live action, of course, by Tessa Thompson in the MCU. Now, if you've really enjoyed our recent series of Asgardian characters, if you want to see maybe a little bit more about Thor and his pantheon, I would really recommend that you head over and check out Marvel Club, because mm-hmm. we're putting up some exciting video content reviewing all four Thor movies, including Love and Thunder.
That's right.
And you can see our beautiful faces, and you can get our beautiful Jane Foster, the Mighty Thor print drawn by Comicer Girl, who, even before we started working with her, is one of my favorite comic book artists on the Instagrams, and she worked on Jason's Project Super Best Friend.
But there is a special offer. You can only get the Jane Foster print if you sign on to our Patreon over at patreon.com/Jawin, that's J-A-W-I-I-N, in the month of July.
Wait, what? Say that again?
Only available in the month of July. And if you've been a longtime patron and you're already at the Marvel Club level or higher, you're going to get it automatically. Mm-hmm, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. But if you slide that print up beside the Doctor Strange print that you got in May, you'll see that it connects.
Wait, what?
Yep. And there's a third image coming, I believe, in September-ish or October-ish.
In the fall, certainly. Yes. Also, you're mentioning Doctor Strange is going to be an interesting Easter egg for later in this episode.
Yes. So if you want to support us and listen to three extra podcasts every single month, including our podcast where we review Justice League, the cartoon, head on over to patreon.com/Jawin. J-A-W-I-I-N. Thank you to all the super fresh friends who do. We appreciate them.
Yeah, we love you.
Yeah,
you are worthy.
We'll be Valkyrie for them and carry them to the afterlife or inside Odin's house straight to Valhalla.
Sure. I want a horse with wings.
Do you think Odin gets tired of that? Like, he's like, you know, he's getting ready. He's going to the Odin sleep and then it's, what, what? Who's there? The Valkyrie again?
Do you, Odin doesn't open his own doors. He doesn't care.
You think it's Heimdall? You think it's Heimdall all the time?
No, I think Heimdall's got other stuff to do, but I bet he's got like, I don't know, what's a guy version of a handmaiden? A valet? Who opens his doors for him?
I was going to say a guy maiden.
A guy maiden. He's got guy maidens who open the door for him.
They're like, again? Man, so many people.
I don't think Odin, particularly Norse mythology, Odin deigns to make eye contact with a lot of people with his one good eye. So maybe the ravens open the door.
Sure.
but no, I don't think he's friendly or welcoming.
All right, let's move into the meet cute, Ashley. What's that?
The meet cute, the, usually what you explain. The
That's
second
fine.
Part of the lesson where we're going to tell you where we first meeted this character and how cute it was. Jason, where did you first meet Valkyrie?
I actually met Valkyrie for the very first time in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, where the Marvel Universe, they rebooted their entire universe basically in the year 2000 as the idea of what if these characters had been created in the year 2000. And in Ultimates 3, Valkyrie pops up out of nowhere.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that soon.
And that's where I met her for the very first time. I didn't know who she was before then. But but to be honest with you, I didn't read many Thor comic books until, I would say, probably the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
I was not a huge fan of Thor, really, for a long time. How about you? Where did you first meet Valkyrie?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It's not a good enough answer, Ashley.
In actual Norse mythology when I was like six.
Okay. In the Northmen in theaters.
In the Northmen in theaters everywhere. Yeah. I don't know. The first time I can really recall was when I was prepping our Daughters of the Dragon episode. I read Fearless Defenders, and she's one of the lead characters of Fearless Defenders.
She is in that. That's true.
It's a good showing for her. I really like that story. Spoilers for a recommended reading. But honestly, before this episode, some Thor book, but like yourself, I didn't really read Thor before the movie came out. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, Brunhilde. I don't really know. I know that's not a fun answer, but it's the truth. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Okay.
All right, let's get to the History 101, where Professor Ashley's going to dig deep into the Asgardian history of Valkyrie and finally explain why this is a title and not a person. I am so confused by the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. So, Jason, how much do you think Thor is going to be in this episode?
A lot.
You're so wrong.
Really?
We're going to mention Thor less than we're going to mention Doctor Strange. Thor has almost nothing to do with what Valkyrie actually gets up to. And I thought that was kind of interesting because I feel like a lot of the trouble she gets into could be improved if Thor had shown up and maybe help the girl out a little bit.
Sure,
fair. There's definitely not as much Thor as I anticipated when I went into writing this lesson. I am going to run over the other characters who have been Valkyrie kind of for fun because there's really not enough for each of them to get their own geek history lesson, but the main focus is going to be Brunhilde, like I mentioned at the top. So when Valkyrie was being conceived, writer Roy Thomas said this: "I wanted a sort of female Thor, but of course at first I just made her a disguise of the Enchantress in the Avengers. I left the look mostly to John Buscema, though I may have said I wanted her to be blonde." So she is introduced in the Avengers because she is a fake identity that Amora the Enchantress, a sort of magical Marvel villain, puts on. It's been retconned that she was and wasn't actually Brunhilde at the time. We'll go into that, but just know that there have been retcons all the way back to her very first appearance in comic books.
Almost like she's a character from mythology.
Almost. Well, also almost like she's a supporting character created in the Silver Age.
Got it.
So there wasn't a ton of continuity to begin with. So Valkyrie's pretty much always had an identity issue from the moment she was brought into the comics universe. When she appears in Avengers 83, she is a disguise of the Enchantress. And then not long after that, she gets attached to a human identity on Earth, this woman named Samantha Parrington.
Just like Thor.
I was going to say this might seem weird, but if you remember, Thor also had a human alter ego.
Dr. Donald Blake.
Their souls were connected. It's very much the same thing.
So far, she's girl Thor.
That's very much the ethos of when she was created. Right. Samantha Parrington Valkyrie actually first appears in canon as a Hulk villain who shows up in The Incredible Hulk Volume 2, number 182, in August of 1971. So if you're doing the math at home, that means that 1 year later, she has a completely different identity and a completely different point of view. Steve Englehart and Sal Buscema introduced the Barbara Norris alter ego in Defenders number 4 of February 1973. 3 years later, she's on her third identity, and she joins the Defenders team. She's actually on the Defenders until her death in Defenders 152, which is in February of 1986.
And she's already dead?
Well, I'm doing the broad strokes,
Okay.
And then we're going to go back and do the Brunhilde stuff of like, these are all the identities, and then I'm going to tell you how we got here. And that her death ends the series. And then the writer of this story, who was a guy named Peter B. Gillies, said that Marvel Editorial wanted her to die so the other characters could be freed up to lean the team and join X-Factor. He does eventually bring her back to life 2 years later. And then Kurt Busiek and Eric Larson bring back the Samantha Parrington identity, her original identity, in 2001. So she is alive for like 30 years, and she has about 5 identity changes on Earth.
Okay, so I am already completely lost, and we're not even 12 minutes in.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. I just wanted to run through, this is when it's this character, this is when it's this character. Now I'm going to go back and tell you from Brunhilde's point of view how all of this happened.
Okay.
But I'm sort of trying to lay the track of, it's confusing because every team does whatever they want with her, and then they kind of murder her off.
And there's a lot of different versions of her.
Well, there's a lot of different versions of her human identities.
Okay. Because
back on Asgard, like Thor, she's always Brunhilde, the big blonde lady.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like if Thor was Donald Blake for a couple of years, and then he became Jason Inman for a couple of years, and then he became Jeremy Skinner for a couple of years.
Where are you pulling these names?
And then he went back to being Donald Blake for a couple of years.
It sounds so fake.
It's like that. And I just wanted to make sure that I checked all of the creators who introduced their
alter egos.
You
should workshop those names a little bit more.
You think so? You think they're too run-of-the-mill?
They are. God, they sound so made up.
What? Give me a Marvel Comics executive. Why do you think they sound a little too made up?
They just sound too simple. You need a name like Peter Tecumseh.
What's Tecumseh?
A very good name.
Oh, I would hard disagree. Or one listener named Tecumseh's mad now. I thought you were going to say Tacoma for some reason.
I could. They're good. I love that name too. Great, great repitch.
Thank you. Okay, Jeremy Tacoma and Jason Tecumseh.
Yep.
Those are some future alter egos of Thor.
Probably should come up with some different ones that don't have T's in the end. But
They're both JDs, if you've noticed.
I know.
Doesn't Marvel like, letters repeating themselves?
That's not letters repeating themselves.
Well, JT and JT.
Okay. Can we talk about Valkyrie?
Yes. So now Brunhilde. And here is sort of like her origin story as laid out by Marvel Comics. She is selected by Odin. Jason, who is Odin?
The Allfather, the Zeus of Norse mythology, if you will.
The king of the Norse gods. Mm-hmm. To lead the Valkyrior. I don't know how to pronounce this word. The internet didn't help me learn how to pronounce this word. It's the name for all of the Valkyries, or the Valkyrior, I guess. Jason, do you know what they do?
They shepherd people to the land of the dead, or they shepherd people to Valhalla, right?
That's right. Literally,
or to hell, if you H-E-L.
Yes.
With one L.
It literally means choosers of the slain.
Mm-hmm.
And they decide who can pass into the land of the dead, who goes to Valhalla. There's also a place where if you don't go to one of those places, there's somewhere else that you go
to.
Yeah,
there's sort of a weird purgatory place as well.
Yes, it's Niflheim. And they are escorted with winged white horses. Mm-hmm. Jason alluded to this earlier, but the Norseman movie does a really good job at presenting a traditional take on that character and yeah. kind of what she does. Brunhilde is the strongest of the Valkyrior, and she is able to sense a death glow. That means that she can tell when a person is about to die. She can tell when death has turned their gaze upon this person. And her teleportation allows her to jump to the sides of the dead so she can be there to shepherd them through the transition of having died.
Oh, and that's something that is alluded to in the MCU, especially in the most recent movie, Thor: Love and Thunder, because mm-hmm. there's a part where they use Valkyrie's horse to sort of jump into another dimension or another realm.
Yes. And
which
that,
I won't say any more than that.
And well, we're not going to talk about it again here either, but that is something that I think that is going to be taken further and further advantage of in
future movies?
Marvel Comics in general.
Cool.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
And canon, Marvel Comics canon, Brunhilde and Sif share the honor of being the most gifted natural fighters in Asgard.
Cool.
And I really like that fact. She wields a magic sword named Dragon Fang, which is carved by the wizard Khaji Da from the tooth of an extra-dimensional dragon that later fell into the hands of the Ancient One, who later gave it to Doctor Strange, who later gave it back to Brunhilde.
All right. Well, it must have had the, owner, people with your stuff, just like your toys, write your name on it.
Write Brunhilde on your sword.
So obviously Brunhilde was on this sword. Doctor Strange has looked at it and was like, oh, return to sender.
That's so nice of him. I don't really think of him as being all that selfless, you know?
Well, I mean, he's not, but Wong is.
That's true. Yeah. Doctor Strange, though, not much of a sword guy. That's more of like Nightcrawler's jam.
Yeah, he's more of an axe guy.
More of an axe guy, more of a wiggly finger kind of guy. She also has a spear that's made out of iron that doesn't have a name, which honestly feels kind of out of place in my opinion.
Okay.
Everything else has a name. And
can
she
we
has,
name it right now?
Sure. What do we want to name it?
Peter Tecumseh.
Great. Headcanon accepted. I think I should have a female name, but that's fine. And she, and it's interesting, I think, that it's made of iron because traditionally in like sort of pagan beliefs, iron keeps away evil spirits.
That's fair.
And fairies and stuff like that. She rides a winged horse who was given to her by the Black Knight.
Cool.
And its name is Aragorn.
Is it really?
Here's Ashley's asterisk. This is not Norse mythology canon. This is Marvel Comics canon.
Yes, yes.
So he was definitely named after the King of Gondor. And I think
after a fictional character.
I couldn't figure out who named him, but whoever did, I have notes. I think you should have picked something. Because when I first saw this in my research, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Tolkien was into mythology. He loved especially like Germanic and Norse canon. Like that's so cool that he named Aragorn after this like really important mythological. And no, it was the other way around. No. Somebody was like seven stars and seven stones and one
tree. It was Jack Kirby or Stan Lee who said, I really like Lord of the Rings. Let's name this horse after Aragorn.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just thought it was really wild and there was no way I wasn't going to bring it up. So Brunhilde has a lover named Siegfried.
Oh, Siegfried.
And Roy, who is the son of Sigmund, who is an ancient mortal identity of Thor. Remember how everybody has human identities? And Sigalindi, maybe? So in a weird roundabout way, she's a member of Odin's family, kind of by romantic association, because her boyfriend was the son of Thor's human identity.
Mm, okay.
They fell in love because she had no powers, because she was living on Earth at the time, because Odin wanted her to kill someone and she said no. So he took her powers away and threw her down to Earth and then she fell in love with Siegfried.
Sounds very similar to Thor's early comic book origin as well.
Yes, it does. Yep. OG Odin is not a nice man. Soften him in the MCU.
He's a one-trick pony, it sounds like.
Yes. He's like, you disobey me, I rip away all your mm-hmm. powers. Siegfried was later manipulated by magic into betraying Brunhilde, and he wound up murdered for his trouble. And she was so brokenhearted that she threw herself onto the funeral pyre because Odin had taken her powers away. She burned to death. And then Odin was like, oh, but like, I need someone to look after all these dead people who are trying to get into my house. So he brings them both to life afterward, gives them powers and lets them live in Asgard. You don't really see Siegfried a whole lot after that, but that is her canon origin.
Okay.
And after that, Brunhilde led the Valkyrie and looked after the souls of the dead until, and I quote, about a millennium ago, when Odin cut off all direct relations with Earth in accordance with a pact that he and the other pantheons had made with the Celestials.
Yes.
Obviously, this is a huge retcon.
We talked about that a little bit in our history of Asgard last week.
And a little bit in our Eternals episode from last year as well.
Yeah, so if you want to hear a little bit more about that, I recommend go and listen to last week's episode, because I think that that is going to be a big way or a big place or a big driving force of the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that pact.
I agree, and I don't think you introduce some of the actors that you do in some of the other pantheons without the idea that maybe we might touch on something like this moving forward.
And I'm also going to assume at this point that a bunch of you out there who are listening to this podcast have seen Thor, Love, and Thunder. And there were a couple of Celestials in that movie, if you remember.
There definitely were. Yeah, yeah. Look for all the guys with the six spots. So, Jason, Odin's like, nobody can play on Earth anymore. So Valkyrie basically is out of a job. She can't help mortals to the land of the dead anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you think she helped?
I don't know, actually. The elves, maybe?
The elves, I wish.
Or the frost giants, the other people in Norse mythology?
Okay, you have to realize that in the Nine Realms, right, they're pretty racist. They all kind of stick to their own races.
That's true.
That's why Loki gets really shamed all the time. So basically her only job was to look after the fallen Asgardians who were already dead.
Okay.
And just, like, I guess make sure they didn't throw too many house parties in Valhalla.
So she basically just did nothing for like 1,000 years.
For and I quote Marvel Comics, about a millennium.
About a millennium.
Marvel also very famous for their roving timeline.
Oh, well, that's great. So she had some chance to...
She becomes a glorified Asgardian babysitter.
She got to work on herself a little bit, work on some mantras, catch up on her streaming, do some laundry.
What do you think she likes to watch? What do you think is like her favorite streaming show?
Vikings, of course.
Oh, damn.
Come on.
I walked right into that.
And since she's magic, she can watch it in the future. See, she doesn't have to exist in our timeline, you see. She can like watch television from the future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She's magic. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Of course she watched Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Honestly,
Vikings and Alone. That's
Vikings
what
and Alone, yes. She's like, your survival skills are pitiful.
Yeah, basically.
I wish she had turned her powers inward. I wish she had got involved in self-improvement. Instead, she becomes very bitter and feels like she no longer has a purpose or meaning to her existence.
Okay, well, that's going to be a rough 1,000 years.
So this is what all of this drama, Siegfried, no longer employs.
Sitting around the land of the dead.
No Asgardian unemployment is what leads her to meeting Amora the Enchantress for the first time, who we talked about earlier, while she was drinking in a pub outside of Asgard.
All right.
So Amora offers Brunhilde a life of adventures if she would just accompany and support Amora on a bunch of adventures.
And it makes sense why she would say yes, because she's been sitting on her hands for 1,000 years.
For about a millennium.
Yeah, and she's like, I've rewatched Vikings like 5 times. And I am.
Show hasn't even existed yet, and I'm already binged it all.
I need something to do.
Yes. So she's like, yes, absolutely. I'm drunk. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes on until Brunhilde discovers that Amora didn't have pure intentions.
Surprise.
Surprise, she's a baddie. And Amora locked her inside a mystical crystal of the souls.
Okay.
And I have to say, I would very much like to be stuck inside a crystal forever, so I don't really know what Brunhilde has to complain about. That seems like a nice place to be.
Sure.
And so the reason that she is described as appearing in the guise of Enchantress, if you read a lot of stuff about her origin, it's because her body, her big blonde body, is in suspended animation inside a crystal, and the Enchantress is able to manipulate her immortal soul into her body and imbue herself with the powers of Valkyrie, which included appearing as Brunhilde, but Amora was obviously up to evil things.
Got it.
So her true identity was eventually discovered when she hatched a plot to lead female superheroes against the Avengers and the Lady Liberators. And Thor's basically like, this would never happen. I bet this is Amora the Enchantress. This is a Silver Age, so everyone figures everything out really easily.
Also, he probably recognized Enchantress and was like, hey, wait a minute.
Hey, you're
Or excuse me, he recognized Valkyrie.
Yes, yeah. And this led directly to the Enchantress putting Valkyrie's powers into a socialite named Samantha Parrington, her first human alter ego, and sending her to seek revenge against the Hulk. So basically, Enchantress is like, if I can't have your powers, girl, you don't have your powers. This lady walking down the street in her cute little red outfit, she's going to have your powers. Because why not? And then go fight the Hulk, I guess?
Sure.
Because reasons.
Everybody fights the Hulk in the MC in the Marvel Comics universe. It's a thing. Wolverine fights the Hulk. Thor fights the Hulk. You know, Peter Tecumseh fights the Hulk.
Especially in the Silver Age, there were a lot of villains who got introduced because he was originally...
Tales to Astonish, number 136, Peter Tecumseh versus the Hulk. It's a great issue. Go read it.
Someone is going to tweet us and let us know what actually happens in that issue. So to hide basically her access to the Valkyrie powers, Amora next bestows the power on Barbara Norris, who's the character who goes on to join the Defenders. So basically she gets sick of Samantha fighting the Hulk and she's like, Samantha, you got to go back to Sex and the City. This is so boring. She gives her powers to a new lady. Now, Jason, did you know that Valkyrie was like a standing member of the Defenders?
Well, there have also been several different versions of the Defenders. Mm-hmm. The original team is a Doctor Strange team.
Yes.
It's where Doctor Strange calls in Silver Surfer, the Hulk, and I believe, Namor. It's Namor is the other person. But the sort of like more popular version of the Defenders team is sort of this, I don't want to say C-listers because I don't really believe in the term of C-listers.
But we know what you mean.
There are characters that aren't as popular.
Supporting characters.
And so she is a regular member on this Defenders team that keeps coming back where it's like her and like Nighthawk.
Yep.
And I'm trying to pull out some other names, but you kind of know who I'm. Black Knight is sometimes on there.
Yes, he is. That's how they they share stuff. So they kind of have, they imply in a lot of the Defender stories that her and Black Knight, they have a will they won't they, and they never really will they.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have really liked to see something like that explored with the two canons. I think that'd be really interesting.
Which also makes this sense because Black Knight is sort of a version of King Arthur.
Exactly. So. And, you know, in terms of the ancient world, they're pretty, they have a lot of similar roots.
Well, it makes sense why she would be attracted to royalty. But for me, I was going to say the Defenders team that I like is the Doctor Strange one.
Yes. Although they do cross over, like she often appears as a supporting character on the Doctor Strange team adventures. Mm. But yeah, she is on kind of, I guess, the secondary Defenders team. So it's only when a hero named Olaris, who is an actual Norse mythology Asgardian character, I looked it up, tried to take over Valhalla. He tried to take Odin's house away from him.
Owen's like, again?
That Valkyrie's powers were returned to Brunhilde and she was able to free herself from the crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in this crystal for like years and years and years while these human girls are running around with her body, are running around with her powers, and now her soul and her body and her powers are all back together.
There's a lot of consent issues in these early Valkyrie stories.
I mean, it's the 70s. Fair. You make a really good point about that, but you kind of have to meet this where it is with stuff like that. Brunhilde's mind and bodies are again separated after she saves Valhalla.
Yeah, she saved Odin's house.
So basically, Odin was like, thank you so much. You're the best babysitter ever. Bye, 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 bye. Her body goes to Niflheim for a while. So we talked about the Heims in last week's episode and what they all do. I'll just remind everyone that in Marvel Comics, Niflheim is where the non-heroic dead go. So if you don't go to hell, you go to Niflheim. If you don't go to Valhalla,
You're considered to be okay. You're not considered to be brave.
Yes, you're not a hero. If you didn't die in battle.
Or you didn't die in battle.
Basically, if you died of old age, shame on you.
you go to Niflheim. Sorry.
And in Norse mythology, Niflheim is actually ruled over by the goddess Hel or Hela.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's different in Marvel Comics. I just thought that was kind of interesting. So her powers go back into Barbara Norris's body, who's on the Defenders. When she dies, Brunhilde's soul is finally freed and Doctor Strange shows up because he's leading the Defenders. This is the final issue. This is the end of their series. So everybody who's ever been a Defender shows up and Doctor Strange helps return her soul to her body. And since we know we have access to Doctor Strange, I'm really hoping that if we all collectively call on him through the power of our crystals, he might come and talk to us about what it was like to reunite a body and a soul. Action figure spotlight.
No, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange spotlight.
Doctor Strange spotlight. Sorry, I used the wrong here. I'll use the correct one. I'll sorry.
Okay.
Back out. There's Doctor Strange.
There we go.
Yes. So let's see. I'm looking at my docket here, and I think I have to talk to a Brunhilde. Are you here? Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. I'm here.
Okay. You sound a lot like Clea, my wife.
I do not know how to do a Norwegian accent.
Yes. In the continuity of this podcast, if you've listened to past episodes, as you know, my wife is, of course, now the Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, that's true.
I am just a normal doctor. Brunhilde.
Bork, bork, bork.
Bork. So Brunhilde, I see here that you want to bring a come back to the living treatment. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, I would like my soul and my body.
Are you German now?
I'm trying to be Norwegian.
Just talk in a normal woman voice. For God's sake.
Bring me the,
aren't you a god?
Bring me the Swedish fish.
Yes, a lot of strangers.
I've been stuck in a crystal for decades.
Did you bring, are you an HMO or a PPO?
Oh, I think I have, what are the stupid savings accounts for medical expenses that don't make any sense at all? FSA, FHA. Anyway, I'm from Asgard, so I don't know what these acronyms are.
I see. Well, this bitch is going nowhere. So I'm just going to rub some fangs of Falala and some demons of Denok on you. And presto, that'll be $10 million.
Oh, I do not know what dollars are.
Well, just give me a bunch of coins from the Asgardian vault and we'll call it okay.
Oh, okay.
This is, look, I live in New York. This is America. If you think healthcare is free, you must be, you know, a mythological creature. That's all I'm going to say.
I am.
Oh, okay, fine. You're off the hook. All right, ta-da!
Sweet. Insert sound effect of Brunhilde returning to Asgard here. Yay! So you know what's really nice about when Doctor Strange puts her body and her soul back together after this ambiguous amount of time? Is that Brunhilde's memories and her abilities are all restored. She's not at half power. She can remember everything. She knows everything that happened to her, and she knows everything that happens to, like, the 85 women who have been living in her soul this entire time. So what does she do, Jason?
She writes a tell-all novel with all these adventures.
Oh, man, I wish. I wish it was a real sexy novel. Mm-hmm. But no, she takes her revenge on Amora the Enchantress for causing all of the strife, because it's comic. Because
she's Asgardian.
Yes, exactly. Ultimately banishing the Enchantress into the crystals, the crystal of souls. So how's that for revenge?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty fair.
She's like, you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you back.
It's eye for an eye. It's not really a world.
The whole world will be blind and toothless.
It's not literally a road towards peace, but fine.
But yeah. But in comic book logic, it's about as good as you can hope for. After gaining her freedom, Brunhilde felt detached from Asgard, basically because nobody came to save her, so I wonder why. So Jason, what do you think she did next?
I don't know. I have
guess.
She tried to go kill somebody. She's an Asgardian.
She rejoins the Defenders, of course, because they had a new book at the time.
Did she try to kill the Defenders?
No.
Okay, well, that's not very Asgardian.
She joins the Defenders. She's having, like, a pretty nice time being a Defend, and Odin shows up with a quest for her.
Mm, interesting.
He puts her in charge of Moondragon, who is not a dragon.
No, she's a lady with a green cloak and a finely shaved head.
Yes, exactly. She's actually an Iron Man character.
She's sort of a magic-y character.
But she was introduced in Iron Man, so that's why she's pretty noted, for her shaved head, and she's a highly skilled geneticist with minor telekinetic powers. She's got a real bad attitude, so Odin is literally like, put her through Miss Brunhilde's school for girls, like teach her tact. Teach her how to use the little tiny fork on the outside of your plate. And Brunhilde's job is to teach her humility, ultimately. The goal is to make Moondragon humiliated. Eep. And it kind of works up to a point until Moondragon falls in love with a character called the Dragon of the Moon.
Ah.
Love that.
Makes sense.
Very on brand. And Moondragon turns against Brunhilde. So basically, she had this really nice mentor, and then she got her first boyfriend and was like, I don't need to answer your texts anymore.
Just like all our children.
Just like all young women.
They'll turn against their mamas so quickly.
Yes.
All children listening to this, you know what I'm talking about.
She's like, I learned to walk with a stack of books on my head, and I'm done with you.
Every
Thank you
parent
so much.
With a teenager or a young early 20s kid in college is like, exactly.
Yes.
That's my pain.
All the parents out there are like, yes, and?
Yep.
And Moondragon attacks the Defenders until Odin is forced to bestow additional powers on Brunhilde so that she can defeat Moondragon. I like this beat because it kind of reminds me of like Ares coming down from on high and bestowing his powers into Hector in the Iliad. I like this because this is a real mythological trope. I think the story's really silly, but I like the idea that in order to fulfill the quest that he laid before her, Odin had to come down and give Brunhilde additional powers. I think it's really cool. I would actually love to see something like that in one of the movies.
Sure.
When Moondragon attacks again, Brunhilde allied herself with the Eternals for the first time.
Our favorite characters.
Jason's all-time favorite Marvel superheroes.
That's correct.
And number one favorite MCU
That is
movie.
100% correct. I haven't stopped watching it since it went on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to watch The Eternals?
I'm at 46 times right now.
Wow. Yep. So she combined her powers with an Eternal called the Interloper. And I just want to say,
it's okay.
I taught the Eternals lesson. I'm familiar with more Eternals than I even thought existed. I had never heard of the Interloper.
I'm just going to say, whenever the Celestials were naming the Eternals,
yeah,
they definitely ran out of names with this guy.
They were like, I don't know, we don't even want this one. The Interloper.
What about Peter Tecumseh? We already used it.
We already used Jason Inman and Jeremy Skinner.
Those both sound like fake names.
I know, but that's why they're perfect for the Eternals.
No, it's got to be something like the Interloper.
Okay. Well,
yes,
you're the boss.
Works. It works.
You're the executive, so the Interloper.
That's right.
So.
I'm Kevin Feigenis.
You're who?
The Kevin Feigenis, the eternal, the celestial that rules over all.
That rules over all celestials, yep, and eternals' names. Yep.
Kevin Feigenis.
So Brunhilde allies with the Interloper, and their powers combine like Captain Planet.
Or a Power Ranger.
I'm making a Captain Planet. I'm committing to that joke. And their immortal forces fight back Moondragon once and for all. But at what cost, Jason?
All the cost.
Basically, Brunhilde dies.
$99. Brunhilde dies?
Brunhilde dies. Lesson over.
Are you again? Doctor Strange here. How?
Hi.
You really sound like Clea, my wife.
Look,
this bothers me.
I have one voice. I'm no Billy West. I'm Brunhilde, and I need to be revived again. Please.
All right. So, what seems to be the problem here? Is it with your adamant, your abdomen? I can't even speak.
I'm adamant.
Is it with your abdomen?
That I'm out of magical powers.
You're dead.
And that means that I'm dead.
All right. Well,
I can't be dead because I take people who is dead.
Do you qualify for Medi-Cal?
I think I might be from Broxton, Oklahoma. So, what does the state of Oklahoma offer by way of coverage?
I believe they have Medi-Oki.
Okay, then are you in network?
No, I need you to call this number, 1-800-433-2611. That is a real number. And I need you to...
What if I called them right now?
You need to call them. You need to take care of your Medicare Advantage to determine whether you're an HMO or a PPO. Once you do that, we'll determine whether you're over 65 years of age, which I believe you are.
Oh, definitely. Like 1,065.
Then we'll talk to the omnipotent Oshturi.
Okay.
Use some chains of Kokakan and the wondrous winds of Watoom. And
that sounds fun. I fly.
If you're deductible... has not been met.
Again, I don't understand modern currency.
We may be able to treat you.
Okay, I'm going to say I'm PPO because it's funnier to say.
Yes, and anyone that is listening right now that does not live in the United States of America, that is how complicated our healthcare system is!
It's actually way more complicated.
Truly the darkest of magic.
The darkest of timelines.
All right, ta-ta, good luck, you're back to life.
Thank you! Hey, Dr. Strange.
Yes.
I have some notes on how you brought me back to life.
You don't get to give me notes, you hear?
I'm just kind of upset because you've put me in my third human body.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't want to have my soul split again. Remember, you helped me get rid of that the last time you were here.
Do you want to be put into a cat? What do you want here?
No, I just want to be in my hot, sexy, giant, blonde Asgardian body.
Is that what I'm going to do?
No, you put me in a human body of a lady named Cyan Bowen who joins the Defenders and we never see again.
Well, that's what you get for using a PPO. Goodbye!
Yeah, is that funny for anyone who doesn't live in the United States? But Dr. Strange does just that. He chooses a host body without Brunhilde's consent and whacks her soul into it. Her name is Cyan Bowen. It's spelled S-Y-A-N. I know I might not be pronouncing it correctly. I'm doing my best. She is a minor part of the Defenders for a few years. She eventually returns to Asgard and is murdered by Loki just prior to the destruction of Asgard and generally gets no character development. So this is like her third death in not that many years.
Look, I just want to say as well that I know we do have some listeners that work in the medical industry, and I cannot wait for all their corrections.
Oh, it's also not a drag on them.
No,
it's on the system.
Yeah. We have some very lovely listeners.
We do.
Yes. We have a couple doctors I know that listen. That's great.
Can you advise me on what these wings are?
What?
I don't know.
You have wings?
Yes.
When did this happen?
Right now.
I don't even know what this bit is.
I don't either.
What are we talking about?
She's a winged horse.
She's in a body she doesn't like.
No, and she was murdered on Asgard by Loki.
Oh boy, again?
Yes, that's what I said. This is the third time.
Oh my gosh, she's dead again?
Yeah, but don't worry. Nobody explains how she comes back this time. She just reappears in 2011.
Hold on. She reappears again in 2011?
Yep, in Jason's favorite Marvel event, Fear Itself.
Oh, man.
Jason is furiously searching for something, and I'm frightened.
I'm trying to get to something. I think, Ashley, what we need to do, because Valkyrie came back to, you know, life.
Yes, with the help of our favorite Doctor Strange.
Yes, well, he hasn't quite done that. We haven't brought him back to bring her back to life so she can come back to Fear Itself. So I think Valkyrie needs to make a phone call.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to...
Okay, I don't know how a phone works, but I'm going to do my best.
All right, Valkyrie, so go ahead and dial the number there.
Dee, 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 dee. I'm just pressing numbers until someone answers. Dee, 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 dee.
You don't have to press numbers anymore, Valkyrie.
Oh, thank you. Bork, 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 bork.
Hello! You've reached Doctor Strange. We can't take your call right now, but please give your name, contact information, PPO, reason for reaching out, and one of our team members will be touched with you in 24 hours. If this is Valkyrie... Oh, I'm still dialing. If this is Valkyrie, please don't ever call me again. I'm done. I'm done helping you. I'm just exhausted. You've used all my dark magic. And the last time, you didn't send me a thank you card. So I'll be in touch never. All right, have a good day.
Hi, Steven. This is Brunhilde calling. You said if this was Valkyrie calling, not to leave a message. I'm not technically Valkyrie at this time because I'm dead. There's six other women who are currently Valkyries. There are some hammers falling from the sky that I would really like to collect. So if you and Ed Brubaker could bring me back to life as a member of the Secret Avengers, that would be super
dope. Hey,
this
is Doctor Strange. I was listening. I was in the other room. I was screening my calls.
Hi.
I just want to pop in here and say that that storyline was written by Matt Fraction. Goodbye.
No, you're right. It was written by Matt Fraction, but she joins Secret Avengers.
Click, click. Ah, yes, Doctor Strange back here. That's right. Ed Brubaker did write that.
Right. Yes. We're actually both right this time.
Apologies.
No, that's okay.
How do you keep dying?
What I'm an immortal here? Being.
You're
so
immortal.
Death is relative.
How do you keep... I am so tired.
You think you're tired?
I'm tired.
I flew here on a winged horse and my arms have been sore all day.
I flew here on a cloak. What's your excuse? You have a horse. There's no
seat. His name's Aragorn.
That's just bad writing.
Aragorn, son of Arathorn and Gilrion. Why do we never shout out Gilrion? That's disrespectful. She saved his life by taking him to Rivendell.
This episode has gone down so many holes that I never thought would exist. And I'm tired of
we
it.
We have fun here.
I've got to leave. Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Goodbye. I need Jason to come back and explain Fear Itself anyway.
Oh, boy. He won't be able to do it. I can tell you that. It's an impossible task. All right, ta-da.
Bye. Call you again in 5 minutes.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, what's Fear Itself?
It's a long and complicated storyline that I doubt anybody
hammers
can explain.
Fall from the sky.
It's Blackest Night, the Green Lantern storyline,
yes.
But lots of hammers.
Yeah, that's all I needed. It's a big deal for Brunhilde.
Is it?
It is.
Okay. Was it a big deal for anybody? The answer would be no.
Well, she gets to do something in this one, which for her is pretty, and not be set dressing, which for Brunhilde is a big deal. Mm-hmm.
It's a big Asgardian storyline.
Yeah, she rage quits the Avengers because she wants to collect all of the fallen hammers to prove that she is worthy because she's been dying so much.
Sure.
It's actually a nice beat and kind of a messy event, I think. I like Fear Itself better than Jason does, but... and this action is inspired by a lack of power. She wasn't looking after herself in the Asgardian way, which involves eating apples. I'm not kidding. From the world tree.
We talked a little bit about that last week in our Asgardian episode.
Yeah.
The Asgardians like immortality actually comes from eating these apples from the world tree.
Yep. And she hasn't been doing that. And so she's collecting all these hammers to make up for that. Her powers aren't working the right way. And she wants to be back to the height of her powers, which she hasn't experienced in some time. Cause she's been dying for like 20 years straight. At the end of the series, the All-Mother, who is a combination of Freya, Gaia, and Idun, I believe is how it's pronounced, tasked Brunhilde with rebuilding the Valkyries using only mortal women from Earth, which...
Seems kind of selective.
I have to say...
And discriminatory.
Not fun, because Brunhilde has superpowers. But what I like about this leads directly into the Fearless Defenders series, and I'm actually a fan of that series. We talk about it extensively during our Daughters of the Dragon episode. That's episode 216 of Geek History Lesson. So I'm not going to delve too deeply into it here because we literally break it down like issue for issue in that episode. But Jason, do you know who Brunhilde recruits onto to be her new Valkyries?
Misty Knight.
That's one. She recruits three people.
Colleen Wing.
Oh, sorry, four people. No, not Colleen Wing.
She doesn't know Colleen Wing? No. Then I don't know any of the rest of them.
Misty Knight.
Oh, the White Tiger?
Nope.
All right, then I
don't know. I don't actually know her human name, so maybe. Danielle Moonstar.
Okay.
Hivalita. Mm-hmm. And a scientist named Annabelle Riggs.
Cool.
What I really like about Annabelle Riggs is she's a real smarty, but also she's Brunhilde's girlfriend for a little bit during this run. And I like that.
Sexy.
Together, they become the new Valkyrior, and they fight Carolyn Le Fay, yes, of that Le Fay family, the Doom Maidens, and other undead Valkyries, because that's, I guess, about as imagination as they had. When Annabelle Riggs dies saving her team at the end of the series, she is imbued with Brunhilde's spirit, because why wouldn't she be? And she actually becomes one of the spiritual Valkyries as well. We never see her again, but she is theoretically leading heroes to Valhalla to this very day. Brunhilde then goes on to have minor appearances in Axis and Monsters Unleashed and War of the Realms. In War of the Realms, she actually gets to do some cool stuff. She and the Valkyrior are slaughtered at the end of the run by Malekith in New York City, and Brunhilde is decapitated.
Yes.
Yay.
Again.
Question mark.
Oh, boy.
And then after this happens, this is what leads directly into Dr. Jane Foster becoming the new Valkyrie, because all the Valkyrior are slaughtered and she's not Thor anymore because we wanted to give it back to the white guy because of the movies. And so this is what leads directly into the Jane Foster Valkyrie series, which I know I was being shady about, but it's actually a really fun series. And I don't mind Jane being one of the Valkyries. In the Ultimate Universe, like Jason talked about, Valkyrie is a human girl named Barbara Norris, who was one of her earlier Silver Age identities and that big swishy thing where we were confused about who was who. And she wants to be a superhero, but she has no actual superpowers. Thor is maybe not a god, maybe not a superhero, maybe a drunk in the Ultimate Universe. They kind of hide for a long time whether or not he's actually Thor.
And then they confirm it.
And then they do. But he has a big cult of personality around him, mm-hmm. and she's one of his followers, whom the wife beater Hank Pym calls Thor Girl instead of learning her name. Mm-hmm. And then after Tessa Thompson debuted as the character in the MCU, in 2018, there was a series called Exiles, in which the series creators Saladin Ahmed and Javier Rodriguez introduce a comics canon Valkyrie who looks like Tessa Thompson.
Okay.
So she's black, which is really cool. And Ahmed said, though she's not technically from the Marvel Cinematic Universe reality, she's basically the literalization of the larger than her physical frame swagger that Tessa Thompson displayed in Thor Ragnarok turned up to an 11. So if you've spent this whole time being like, but where did Tessa Thompson come from? The answer is from the brain of Taika Waititi, and then, like Harley Quinn, it reverse influenced the comics, and they did introduce a Valkyrie who is based on that character. But I think, as you can see, there's very little except the title and the idea of having a sword and a horse that the MCU lifted. And given how little Thor appeared in this, I remain surprised that we put Valkyrie in the movies at all. That's my thought for the end of your lesson on Valkyrie. Yes. Brunhilde's dead and Jane is Valkyrie. Yes, now you're caught up.
Well, because they wanted to give Jane a Mighty Thor kind of role. That's not Mighty Thor.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, not a bad idea.
I actually don't think it's a bad idea either.
I'm sure once Doctor Strange is done being dead, he'll bring Brunhilde back and everything will be fine. Fine, 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 fine.
I just have to. Doctor Strange, yeah.
Hi, welcome back.
I just have to get my HMO to PPP sorted out, and then after that, I'll be right as rain, back alive, don't you doubt.
Who are you filing with, though? Because Brunhilde was filing with you.
You know, look, I don't want to say too much, but there is a special number for Sorcerer Supremes, especially dead Sorcerer Supremes, to call. You call the number. You give the code
666?
No, you give the code 616.
Oh.
And then you make sure that extension, because that'll put you right in with this amazing fella named Peter Tecumseh.
Oh.
Simple as that.
Not Peter Tacoma.
Not Peter Tacoma or Jeremy Skinner or Jason. No, none of those fake names. I'm talking about a real name, a real man, Peter Tecumseh, genius physician, sorcerer supreme.
What's his specialty?
Bioengineering.
Great.
And, you know, little bit of dabble of magic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's going to bring it back to
life. A little bit of dabble of dark magic, if you know what I mean.
I do. You talk about it literally every time you're
dark
here.
Dark magic indeed. All right. Peace out from the dead world.
Do you think he's in Valhalla?
Who? Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
Did he die in battle? No.
No, not really.
All right. What do we do after the lesson, Jason?
Well, we look at intern Brego, who just walked by the podcast table.
He just woke up.
Did a big old stretch, and we talk about the recommend. Brego, why don't you introduce this segment here? He's licking his butt. Not a good job.
Never change, Brego.
That's why we don't pay him. We're going to talk about
He's also named after a Lord of the Rings character.
Oh, boy. Not an actual god from Norse mythology. Recommended reading is where Ashley is going to give you three or four selections about Valkyrie in case you want to read and dive deeper into Marvel Comics history. And you can find those choices over at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. We have little widgets that will take you to a place where you can purchase those books and you can learn and become a better informed listener.
That's right. Okay, so I'm going to recommend Avengers Masterworks Volume 2. This has her origin in it. So if you want to see the first time Valkyrie ever showed up, this is the easiest way to get your hands on that. And it's a really nice collection. I'm also going to recommend The Fearless Defenders. Like I said, this is one of my favorite comics versions of her. I'm going to recommend Mighty Valkyries. This is post-Fearless Defenders where she's building a new mystical Valkyries team that leads directly into War of the Realms. And then lastly, as a bonus, because we did do Jane Foster pretty recently, I'm going to re-recommend Valkyrie Jane Foster Volume 1. Because like I said, this is not Brunhilde, so this is like my special edition, but it's a really fun way to see Jane exploring this character, and she gets something like character development here.
Nice.
So those are my recommended reading. And I have one question for you, Jason, in our discussion today.
Sure.
So we have a version of Valkyrie in the MCU. And like I said, she has very little to do with who Valkyrie is traditionally in either
She's
Norse mythology or the
title
comic
only.
Books, which is fine.
Yeah,
that's not a drag.
Sure.
The MCU has done that a ton of times.
Exactly.
She's a fun character.
Yeah.
But do you think we will ever get a version of Brunhilde in the MCU, or should we see a version of this character?
I don't think we need to see her.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was me... And it's not, but I'm telling you right now, Tessa Thompson is Brunhilde.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no doubt in my mind, she's Brunhilde.
Would you like to hear her say that?
I would. I don't need her to say it.
Okay.
To me, it's assumed because since she is sort of the most powerful Valkyrie in that universe.
She's the king of Asgard.
Also, she's the one that survived. They say that in Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, I just automatically assume that she's Brunhilde. I don't need her to say it. But I also understand the simplification for the audience where they're just like, she's Valkyrie.
Yeah.
That's her name.
Yeah, Valkyrie.
Let's just simplify it. Let's make it easy because Norse mythology can be confusing and complex, as we just learned.
Yes.
So to me, she's Brunhilde. Will they ever say it? Probably. They'll probably make it an Easter egg one day. Well, like somebody will be like, Valkyrie can't be your real name. I know Norse mythology. And she's like, well, it's actually Brunhilde, but I haven't gone by that in many eons.
It's a wild name.
Mm-hmm. It's a pretty name.
It's a cool name.
I think it's a cool name.
But it's a wild name. Can you imagine seeing a little baby and be like Brunhilde?
look, as we've established in this episode, it's a way better name than Peter Tacoma.
Or Peter Tecumseh.
No, Peter Tecumseh is an amazing name, but it's not as good of a name as Peter Tacoma, Jason Inman, or Jeremy Skinner.
Okay. That's
those are all fake names. Beyond fake. Whoever's named them, if you know a person that has named any of those names, they do not exist, and they're probably lizard people.
Wow.
Yep, I'm just putting it out right here.
Go to patreon.com/Jowin, that's JAWIN, and see if one of our podcasts recently imploded because both of the hosts are fake.
All right, are we ready for the honor roll?
We are. What's that, though?
The honor roll is where we ask our listeners to go over to Apple Music and leave us a 5-star review over at the podcast reviews. And if they do that, we read their review live on the air as a thank you. So who is joining the honor roll this week.
We have two sweet baby angels joining this week. The first is Tom T85, who I suspect is Tom Trainer, but that might be a made-up name too, who says, one of my favorites. Thought it was time to update my review. Ooh, reviewed twice. Love it. I've been listening to this podcast regularly for over 6 years now and have been a patron, that's definitely Tom, the majority of that time. This show is always entertaining and informative. I've learned things and laughed out loud at the same time. The hosts are relatable, knowledgeable, and always make me smile. I love the characters and the running jokes. The community they've built is something I'm proud to be a part of, and I look forward to everything else these two put out.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom, also a big contributor to our Thor discussion going on in the Discord right now. And they are also joined by Lane Tang, who says, great show for everyone. Great show for anyone interested in comics or the movies. Ashley and Jason give a fun breakdown of each character that's perfect for newcomers, while also extremely enjoyable for those of us hardcore nerds. Always pick up something new or a good recommendation. Can't recommend enough. So Tom T85 and Lane Tang, welcome into the Teacher's Lounge. Professor Jason, what's going on in there today?
Dr. Peter Tecumseh is teaching, of course, on biology, which is, I think, and medical insurance, which I think is a course that we all need after this episode, because I bet we are all thoroughly confused, especially our foreign listeners. But also, I just want to point out that, you know, we have a person that is sleeping in the Teacher's Lounge, Mr. Jeremy Skinner, who
is not a real person.
Who is not a real person. And
yeah, him and Catherine Hahn have been in that sleeping bag for a long time.
They've been in the sleeping bag for a long, long time. And I'm just going to say that Peter Tecumseh, Dr. Peter Tecumseh, might kick him out of the Teacher's Lounge pretty soon. So be careful.
Interesting.
Be careful out there, fake lizard brother. Okay. Thank you so much. If you want to leave a 5-star review and join the Teacher's Lounge, just like these awesome two people, go over to Apple Music and do that. While you're over there, subscribe and download our podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, please tell your friends, your mother, and your fake lizard people all about it, because that's the easiest way for this podcast to get better and get into more ear holes is for lovely people like yourself listening to this right now to listen to it. Ashley, where can they find us on social media if they want to suggest future lessons?
You can find us at geekhistorylesson.com. We have a brand new blog there where we put out new posts every Thursday. You can find us at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at @GHLpodcast, or on Instagram at geekhistorylesson.
Don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. We're going to see me posting pictures of Super Best Friend fulfillment. And don't forget to follow Ashley over on Instagram and Twitter at Ashley V. Robinson. We're going to see her posting pictures of her comic book fulfillment, Aurora and the Eagle.
Yay!
And if you come over to Patreon for GHL Extra, this week's episode will be Asgardian characters that should appear in the future of the MCU. So come listen to that episode. Hashtag stick around, the last part of our podcast where we make sure you stuck through the plugs. Ashley, what are we talking about?
So if nothing else, in the eternal mess that is female supporting characters created by the Silver Age in comic books, the one thing I think we all learned about Valkyrie is she dies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we will see her death in the MCU?
Yes. In fact, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that it hasn't already happened. And that is no spoiler.
No, it's not.
For Thor, Love, and Thunder.
No.
But to be honest with you, I was surprised she made it through Ragnarok because, you know.
Because it's called Ragnarok?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
not enough people died for a movie called Ragnarok.
No, basically. I mean, because, like, you know, we both know Norse mythology, yep. And when they introduced the character of Valkyrie, the minute I saw her in the movie, I said to myself, there is no way she makes it out of this movie. Yeah. She will ride to the land of the dead.
Yes, and we will see that, and we've not seen
it. And then she didn't.
Yeah.
So it surprised me. So I'm surprised she's still alive.
I would like to see her interacting with Valhalla in the movie. I think that would be really cool.
Sure.
I would like to see that.
Cool.
Okay.
You know what I like to, what I would like to see?
More Doctor Strange.
The end of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason. The Doctor Strange bits were weak. I apologize. Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, will you please close out this podcast?
Class is now dismissed.